Okay, today we start Sefer Yirmiyah. Okay, as we will see, Sefer Yirmiyah is a lot easier than Shir HaShirin. The psukim flow much easier. It's very similar. Yirmiyah is very similar in style to Sefer Melachim. Okay, but of course there's a lot of powerful nevuos. There are many of the haftoros that we lay in come from Yirmiyah. And in fact, the Haftarah, this is also Haftarah. This is, which Haftarah is this? The first
one is for Matos.
It could be also Pinchas, either. Either Pinchas or Matos.
And Shemos for the Sfardim.
And what?
Shemos for the Sfardim.
And Shemos for the Sfardim. Okay. So we will see. We'll leave the introduction for later. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher bo anasos Binyamin. Okay, so we start with the words of the Yirmiyahu.
What are we learning?
What? Oh, so we're going to learn the Mitzudos, Rashi, Targum, and selected Radax. Okay, select the Radak. Not every Radak. We'll select a few Radaks here and there, Yesodistic Radaks, to read inside. And then we'll try the best that we can to focus.
You're just starting tomorrow.
Yeah, starting today. Today is the first day. You came a good day to come.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, good to come, yeah.
Okay, so Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher bo anasos be'eretz Binyamin, the words of Yirmiyahu. Who is Yirmiyahu? He was the son of Chilkiyahu. Who was Chilkiyahu? He was the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Yoshiyahu, as it says over here in the next Pasuk Beis. Yoshiyahu was the Melech. He ruled until the last 22 years after Yoshiyahu, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Yoshiyahu was the third to last king. And Yoshiyahu was a very, very great tzaddik. And in fact, we read about him on Tisha B'Av. One of the kinois that we read on Tisha B'Av is the eulogy that Yirmiyahu himself composed over for the death of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu took Klal Yisrael from a situation of total ignorance. In the days of Yoshiyahu, you have to remember, inherited the Malchus. Yoshiyahu inherited the Malchus. Is this okay?
In that word, there's a lot of interference.
Yeah.
We're working this morning. In fact, we changed it.
Turn the battery?
Wait a minute. That is a lot of interference. Not static.
Outside noise.
Okay, it's good.
I know it's working.
Okay, Yirmiyahu, in the days of Yoshiyahu, the Beis HaMikdash, the Klal Yisrael, Yoshiyahu inherited the Malchus from Menashe and Amon. Menashe and Amon were the worst kings in Klal Yisrael. They completely eradicated any sense of Yiddishkeit from Klal Yisrael. Menashe worshipped idols. He put an Avodah Zarah in the Heichel. And his son Amon was even worse. He put an Avodah Zarah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Klal Yisrael did not, it appears that in the time of Yoshiyahu, Klal Yisrael did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. They had absolutely no knowledge that there existed such a thing called a Sefer Torah. And however, they did have the Beis HaMikdash. And after Amon died, Yoshiyahu was the Melech. When he was eight years old, he sensed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him, a calling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do tshuva. And after 8 years, when he was 16 years old, he became Melech, I think he was 16 years old, Yoshiyahu. Okay, during Yoshiyahu's Malchus, in the beginning of Yoshiyahu's Malchus, he recognized that there is indeed a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he began to turn the tide. At some point in time, he decided that it would be proper for the Kohanim to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. and he brought them together to make renovations. And indeed, Chilkiyahu, who was then the acting Kohen Gadol, when they began to make the renovations, they discovered buried in the Beis HaMikdash a Sefer Torah. And it was the first time they saw a Sefer Torah in their lives. And the Sefer Torah happened to be open to the Toichacha in Chumash and Parshas Kisava. And Chilkiyahu and Yoshiyahu took this as a sign that if they don't improve their ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Churban to Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk which got them very scared, especially Yoshiyahu, was the Pasuk that said, Yoylech Hashem Malkecha, Hashem will take your king and bring him to a foreign nation. So he was terrified of this bad omen. This omen that occurred by finding the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, buried, hidden away in the Beis HaMikdash. And they took this as a sign that Klal Yisrael should do tshuva. And indeed, Yoshiyahu, he began the ultimate Baal Tshuva movement that the world has ever seen. He promoted Yiddishkeit, he rallied the troops, and he got Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, and only a short time later, Klal Yisrael were Talmidei Chachamim, they were Yerei Shemayim, and they were serving Hashem to the point that he felt that the time of Mashiach is near. And in fact, at that point in time, there was an issue where Paro Necho wanted to go to battle. Wanted to go to battle against Melech Ashur, and he wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to, they didn't want to fight in Eretz Yisrael, but he wanted to go to Ashur by traveling through Eretz Yisrael. And Yoshiyahu believed that he was living in the times of Mashiach, in the times of all the brachos, where it says in the brachos that Hashem will not allow cherev le'savar ba'artzecha, a sword will not pass through your land, which Chazal interpret to mean afilu cherev shel shalom. And Yoshiyahu did not allow Paro Necho to pass through Eretz Yisrael on his way to Ashur to fight. Paro Necho did not take no for an answer, and he gathered his army, and he anyway went to go pass through Eretz Yisrael to reach Ashur to go to battle. Yoshiyahu was furious, how dare you disobey my permission, and he went out to prevent him, to fight him, and they met at Megiddoi, and there was a battle, and Paro Necho's soldiers shot 300 arrows into the body of Melech Yoshiyahu, and he died. Who was at the battlefield? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was there at the battlefield. He saw Yoshiyahu die, and he went over to him to hear his last dying words. And the last dying words were, Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu marisi. Hashem is a tzadik. I have rebelled against Hashem. I should have listened to the prophets. I should have listened to the people who told me that they were not living in a generation where we are deserving of the bracha of cherev le'savar bi'artzechem, because people are secretly worshipping idols behind closed doors, even though it appears on the surface that Klal Yisrael Tzadikim was not so. There was worship of Avodah Zarah in secret, and therefore we were not deserving of this bracha. I did not pay attention to the words of the Nevi'im, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is correct, Tzadik Hu Hashem, and with that he died. And then we have Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, and we actually recite this hesped on Tisha B'Av in the Kinos. That was the beginning of the end. After the death of Yoshiyahu, it was all downhill, and exactly 22 years later, the Bayis Rishon was destroyed. Now all of that is very important, because that's really part of the major backdrop to the beginning of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu lived the time of Yoshiyahu, and that's what it says here in Pasuk Beis. Yirmiyahu was the son of Chilkiyahu. Chilkiyahu was the one who found the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, which was presented to Yoshiyahu, which triggered a process of tshuva for Klal Yisrael, where And the tshuva went so far where Yoshiyahu believed he was living in the times of Mashiach, and he did not listen to Yirmiyahu and the other Nevi'im that told him that you should let Paro and Necho pass through the land. All of these different ideas are hinted to here in these first two psukim. Divrei Yirmiyahu, who is Yirmiyahu? He is Ben Chilkiyahu. His father was the one who found the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, which led to the Baal Tshuva movement of the time. Who was Yirmiyahu? He was also in HaKoyhanim. Make no mistake about it, he was a Koyin. Asher Bo Anasos. Anasos was a city that was possessed by Koyhanim. It was one of the cities. Where was it located? The Eretz Binyamin, in the land of Binyamin. Okay, now let's see the Mitzudos David. Divrei Yirmiyahu. Elohim Divrei Yirmiyahu. V'chul Asher Bo Anasos. Asher Yoshav Va'Anasos. Anasos is the name of a city, Shehi Benachalas Binyamin. Rashi, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, Leisei Bar Kalkalosa, let the son of the woman who is corrupt. Who are we referring to as a woman who is corrupt? Rochav Hazoina. Yirmiyahu was a descendant of Rochav Hazoina. You'll ask me, how could that possibly be? Because Yeshua married Rochav, and Yeshua was from Shevet Ephraim. If Yeshua was, and Yirmiyahu is a Kohen, which means from Shevet Levi. Yeah. So obviously it means selective Yichus. The mother, obviously we're dealing over here with many, many generations later on, dealing over here with who knows, 10, 15 generations later on, and obviously there's blood, mixed blood, from different Shvatim, yeah. from his father's side. He was from Shevet, Levi, and from his mother's side he descended from Rochav Hazoina, from Yehoshua and Rochav Hazoina. So here the Pasuk says that Yirmiyahu, he was made fun of. Yirmiyahu, from all of the Nevi'im in Tanakh, he was the one that was harassed the most. He had the raw deal. He had the hardest time compared to all of the other Nevi'im. In general, it was not a glorious thing to be a Navi. The pay was not very good, and there was no benefits.
It's a non-profit.
It was not a very pleasant profession to be in. There was no parnasa, and we'll in fact learn that he was tortured. He was thrown into a dungeon. They would torment him by plucking out the hairs of his beard. He was tortured. And here, one of the things that they tortured was his reputation. They discredited him by saying, how dare you give us Musar? Do you know who you come from? You come from Rochav Hazoina. There wasn't a man in the whole world, there wasn't a prince, there wasn't a king in the whole world that was not Mizaneh with this woman. Obviously, she wasn't from the highest moral caliber standing, and you come from such a woman, how good already could you be? Just because she did tshuva and Yehoshua married her, that doesn't change the facts of what she did in the past. And therefore, they would torment him by saying, you are a person from poor Yichus, how dare you give us Musar? So Hashem, Enochinami, she converted. Enochinami, they were wrong. Absolutely, absolutely. But Mokam Shabbali Tshuva, I'm the Mafilu Tzadikin Gbom, Enim Chom Lama. Yeah?
Beside the fact that wrong to bring up one's ancestors.
Yes.
That's one thing. David HaMelech was what?
Right.
From Moab.
Removed.
Enoch and Ami.
Not only that, but.
Enoch and Ami. I know.
But the matriarch still living. But this is like. How many generations?
15 generations.
And she was
has to be even more. Has to be more than 15 generations.
It's very odd to say.
Okay. You are correct. You're right. But that's what Rashi, that's the opening words of Rashi. Lasei, let it come. Bar, a child. Kal Kalasa, who comes from Yichus, that is corrupt. Rochav Hazoina. However, even though this individual does not come from the Beis Yichus, the Taknon Avodohe, his deeds are perfect. Yirmiyahu was a tzaddik yisoid olam. Hashem's name is part of his name. Yoram Koh. His name is Yoram Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is Yoram Koh, which can mean to elevate Hashem. He was a person who brought greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name, the Taknin Avodohi, his deeds are perfect. Yirmiyah, and what does this mean? So Rashi explains immediately, Yirmiyah Bomei Rochav Hazoina, Vilochach, and let him give Musar, rebuke, to Bar bar to the children, the Klal Yisrael, who are come from the best yichus, bar misak nosa, people who come from good yichus, the mekalkulon avodohi, whose deeds are corrupt. Elu Yisrael, this refers to Klal Yisrael, shekilkulu ma'asehen, they have corrupted their actions, their deeds, shebohu mizerakosha, but yet they come from zerakosha. The Rashi over here is some providing a poetic introduction to the Sefer. The entire Sefer is the Musar of Yirmiyah to Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyah has a maila and a chesara. His maila is, he has good deeds, he's a tzaddik. The chesaroin is he does not come from the best yichus. Klal Yisrael has a mile and a chesaron. The mile is they come from the best possible yichus. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. And what is their only chesaron? Their chesaron is they're not with the program. They're not behaving themselves. They're doing averos. They're worshipping idols. They are corrupt. And over here, the pasuk Rashi makes it very clear that in a chinami, what counts over here is not where your yichus. Yichus is not a solution to all problems. The ikar yichus only counts after you are perfect, after your deeds are correct. After your deeds are correct, then we can focus on the yichus. And therefore, it's kedai for Yirmiyah, who is a tzaddik, even though he has the chesed of poor yichus, to give musar to Klal Yisrael, who, even though they have good yichus, who are not tzaddikim, who are corrupt.
Okay, but Yoshio also had the same background like Yirmiyah. Like your point is very well taken, because they were very similar in the same way.
Correct. That's a very good point. Yoshiyahu had poor yichus. Yoshio comes from Menashe and Amon. They were Rishon Gemurim, Eile Chilik L'Olam Haba, and Yoshio was a tzaddik. Yoshio, who by and large was always saw eye to eye with Yirmiyahu, except for the very end when he did not allow Paro Necho to pass to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's see the targum. Okay, I'm not sure we're going to do all the targums, but let's just start off and see how it goes. Targum begins Piskami Nivuas Yirmiyah, Piskami the words of the Nivuas of Yirmiyah, Baruch Hilkiyahu Min Reishay Matras Kahana. Who was Yirmiyahu? He was from the heads. This is something the targum is adding in. He was from the heads of the tribe. Tribes of the Kohanim. The Kohanim obviously had many, many families. As time passed on, the Kohanim developed. Now, there were 24 Mishmaras, but each Mishmar obviously had multiple families. He was the leader of one of the very great families, the tribes of the Kohanim, Min Imar Kilaya, from Amar Kilaya, that means from the nobles. And Amar Kilaya means from a distinguished leader. He was from the Kohanim, Min Amikali, the leaders. That's also something which the Rashi adds into the pasuk, the Targum adds into the pasuk, does not say, the Havobi Yerushalayim, which was in Yerushalayim. Again, that's also not part of the pasuk. He was the leader of one of the tribes of the Kohanim, and he was also from one of the nobles that was in Yerushalayim. He was a Gavra, a person, the Kovel, that received Achsante, an inheritance, by Anosos, in the city of Anosos.
Okay, Anosos is, if you're standing in Ma'alev, which is just outside Yerushalayim,
yeah,
you can look
and you can see
hilltop,
yeah,
opposite,
that's called Anosos.
The village of Anatot.
Okay. Ba'ara in the land, Shifta Binyamin, the land of Binyamin. Anasos is located in Binyamin. So it seems that Rashi here is telling us they had three different milas. Number one, he was a meyuchas, a kohen meyuchas, a leader of one of the head families. That's one mila. Mila number two, he was a dignitary. You don't have to be from the Kohanim in order to be an Amar Kilaya. In fact, probably most of the people that are in the category of Imar Kilaya.
Married Rafa.
Yeah.
They only had daughters. Right.
But we said from the mother's side.
Right,
that's what we said. That's what we said. It was from the mother's side. We said before that the yichus of your Rachav is from the mother's side, not from the father's side. The father's side, he was a kai. They married, absolutely, absolutely. They married Miuchasim. So he has the second mile that he was a leader, a distinguished leader, and there's nothing that is Miuchid only for a Kohen. This can be found by anyone. And he was also a person that lived, a private citizen, it seems to say, had an inheritance in the land of Binyamin. In other words, he was, everyone could relate to him. You know, he was like Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka, Yirak Rekes Chaisa, she was green. What does it mean she was green? Green is, which Chazal interpreted to mean is, everyone can say she's one of us. Everyone was able to say, she represents our needs. So here also, Yirmiyah had all the milas. The Kohanim, there were different factions in Klal Yisrael. They were the Kohanim. They were an elite group. So they can say, well, he's one of us. Then there was the nobility. The nobility can say, well, he's from us. Nobility, I guess, refers to the Malchus, the Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda was Malchus. The only people who were from Malchus could be called Imar Kelaya. That's a very powerful word, which means you're a noble. So Malchus. So you have the Kohanim. The Kohanim can say he's one of us. The Malchus can say he's from one of us. And the common man who lives, for example, a person living in the Binyamin who has property, has a farm, has a ranch in Anosos, in a city like any other city. He lives in Tel Aviv, just like everyone else. The common man also can relate to him. That is critical, because when a person gives Musar, when a person gives you Musar, the first thing you do when you hear is, what do you know? You don't understand. Where do you come from? You're giving me Musar. How dare you give me Musar? You're a Kohen. You don't know what it's like to be an ordinary person. Kohanim, they're supported by the tzibur. They get Chuma, they get the Manas Kahuna. What do you know? So, but if you're a common man, then you're receptive to if the common man gives you Musar, and then you can't make that argument. If someone from the Malchus gives you or fights with you, again, you can say, what does he know? The point over here is that everyone, he was able to relate to every single person because he had something in common with every single citizen in Klal Yisrael. Whether it was the Kohanim, whether it was the Malchus, or whether it was the common man, that is what the Targum was trying to bring out over here, even though it does not really say it. I mean, where do you see these ideas in the Pasuk? You see Chilkiyahu from the Kohanim. I guess you see Mina Kohanim, that you see. Ba'anosa is Be'eretz Binyamin, but where do you see that he was called an Imar Kilaya? Asher B'Yerushalayim. That does not really say openly in the Pasuk, but I guess somehow the Targum, he was able to get that in. Okay, now let's try. We're not going to do, like I told you before, we're not going to do every Radak, but Radaks are very, very sadistic, so we'll just start out in the beginning. Some of them are more very, very informative, so we'll do some of them inside now. Pasuk Aleph. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. Kosav Adoni Avi Zichroinu Livracha. My father said, now "Who's I don't know who his father. I'm not a Bucky in Radak. Who's his father? David Kimchi. Radak is Rosh Tevas. Rebbe David Kimchi. So who was his father? Someone famous? We know. He keeps on referring to his father. Okay, he keeps on referring to his father over and over in the first few psukim. Maybe we'll come to it. Kasav Adoni Avi Zichron Levracha Ki Chilkiyahu. We mentioned this when we started the Sefer. Zehu Chilkiyahu Ben Shofan HaKohen. He was the Kohen Gadol. Shematza Sefer HaTorah Bebeis Hashem Bimei Yoshiyahu VeYirmiyahu. Bimei Yoshiyahu. That when there was a renovation project taking place in the Beis Hamidosh, in the beginning of the Malchus of Yoshiyahu, he was the one who found the Sefer Torah, and it was opened up to the Teichicha. The Yirmiyahu Bino Niba Bimei Yoshiyahu, he gave over his prophecy in the days of Yoshiyahu. Utchilas Nivuaso Haisa Bishnas Shalosh Esrei L'Malchus. So that's the next pasuk. It was in the 13th year of L'Malchai, the 13th year of the Malchus of Yoshiyahu. The Adai Loishavu Yoshiyahu VeYehuda. At that point in time, when he began to say prophecy, the Jewish people did not yet do tshuva from their evil deeds. It was still a carryover from Menashe and Amon, who put in Yosef, that's his father?
Yeah.
That's his father, Yosef Kimchi. So who is he known now? Does he have his own commentary?
Yeah, he actually started him off on Dikduk.
But does he have his own commentary on in the Mikros Gedolos? Is something that we're famous that we know about? Okay, we'll see. Okay, now at this point in time, they did not yet do truth from their evil deeds. When did the Baal Tshuva movement begin? So the Pasuk says it began in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu. Was when they found the Sefer Torah. Now, min ha-koyhanim, Targum Yonas explains what does it mean from the Kohanim. Min reishei matras kahanaya. He was a leader of a distinguished tribe of Kohanim. He was also min amar kilaya. He was from the nobles of the government. Dahavu birushalayim. He was a gavra. He was a simple man also. He was an ordinary fellow. Gavra de Kabil Achsante, he received an inheritance, Boanosos, in the city of Anosos. Okay, Boanosos, what is Anosos? He ir me'ori ha'kohanim k'mosha kosov, like it says, b'sefer Yoshua. That's an important piece of information, because from the pasuk alone it would seem to say that it was, I told you, it's an ordinary person. In Binyamin, it was in the land of Binyamin, every single one of the Shvatim was required to set aside cities for the Kohanim. The Kohanim do not have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and they were supported by the Tzibur, and that included designating cities for them to live in. So Anosos was a city of Kohanim in the land of Yehuda. It was given over to, it was given to the Kohanim. Sef Yeshua Masha Hechel B'Divrei. Now, the Radak asks a question, why does the Pasuk begin with the word Divrei? What is the unique significance of Divrei, the words? Why doesn't it say Chazoin Yirmiyahu? Why doesn't it say, there are, I think there are 10 expressions for prophecy. Why do we use the words Divrei? So he explains something very powerful. It includes not just prophecy, a chazoin sometimes only refers to prophecy that was said for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we have to really analyze that. But the word divrei, the Radak is telling us, is a catch-all phrase for prophecy. It includes for the Jewish people, it includes the Umos Ha'olam, the Chen divrei Atzmo, and also includes his own original thoughts. Things which are not necessarily prophecy. So therefore you can't use the word chazoin, you can't use the word, I don't know, the other expressions, because that would be not true in regard to his own personal ideas. Furthermore, the entire Sefer, it's not like Sefer Yeshaya, which is one continuous stream of prophecy. There's story. There is a narrative in Sefer Yirmiyahu. There are stories. So therefore you can't say that it's all a chazoin Yeshayahu. It's chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amos. It's a continuous stream of prophecy. Here we're going to have stories. What?
You have a description of what happened.
Right, so you do indeed have in Yeshaya, you do have a few psukim, you do have a few parakim. In a chana, but that's like a breakaway. That's correct. There is like 3-4 parakim that's repeated almost word for word in Sefer Melachim. That is correct. But generally, it's a continuous stream. That's not so in Sefer Yirmiyahu. More often than not, where it's a narrative. It's telling us the story of what happened, and every so often, every once in a while, we'll have a parak that tells us an actual prophecy. So therefore, since generally the Sefer is a different style, it's very similar in writing to Sefer Melachim. That's why we'll use the word Divrei. Now, Uvidrash means, and then in the Agada, in the Divrei Agada, that by the way, something very important to take note of, there is no Medrash on Sefer Yirmiyah. We were spoiled. We've been learning the Chumash Megillos for the last year at least. And the Chumash Megillos has a Medrash Rabbah. There's a Medrash Rabbah on Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and there's a Medrash Rabbah on the Chumash Megillos. And that's it. There is no other Medrash on any of the Sifrei Nevi'im. Sifrei Ksuvim, that's it. So with the exception of the Chumash Megillah, that's part of Chumash Megillah. Only the Chumash Megillah. Therefore, all of the Midrash that we're going to encounter, which are... Medrash. It's not a Medrash Rabba. It's a different Medrash. It's a different type of Medrash. Medrash. The Medrash Shachta, but it's a different. It's a different. Different types of Shachta. Different league of Medrash. But yet, what many of the common modern day Svarim have done is they've extracted with a lot of talent all of the Midrashim scattered throughout Chamish Eichum Shnei Torah and the Chamish Megillos, ideas that are relevant to the psukim that we're going to be covered. So we will come in contact with many Midrashim, but it's not written. The difference is that the Midrash was not written on the pasuk as a primary source. The Midrash was written primarily for a pasuk in Chumash, a pasuk in the Chumash Megillos, and it just happened to be that a pasuk in Yirmiyah would provide insight, illumination to what the pasuk. So therefore, it was used as a secondary, it was drawn in. So every time we're going to come across a Medrash, it's going to be really a secondary focus. We're just because it was being written on something different, and derech agav, we get insight into what this pasuk means.
Yalkut Shmoyni,
or the men, there are a lot of collections. There are a lot of collections of all the Midrashim which have been extracted. Now here he says something important, Uvidrash, and in the Medrash, Gimel Nevi'im, there were three prophets. We learned in the Drash, meaning in the Midrashim, the following, Gimel Nevi'im, with regard to three prophets, Ali Dei Shechayse Nevuasam Divrei Kanetoyrin. It was primarily complaints. There are three prophets that the bulk of their words were complaints, were criticism, was rebuke. Therefore, their prophecies begin with the word divrei, a davar, divrei kantoirin, l'tichel, therefore, nidle nevuasan ba'atzman, the nevuah is described relating directly to them, in other words, divrei, it's their words, not the words of Hashem. Yeshaya is kula nechem to Chazal say. Even though the bulk of Sefer Yeshaya is Musar, but Chazal say it's kula nechama. So therefore, we don't relate the words of Yeshaya to himself, we relate the words of Yeshaya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amot, it's the vision. It's the vision, meaning these are holy words, these are not his private words. Yirmiyah, even though his words come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but being that they are words of Musar, we don't want to attribute harshness, rebuke, and Musar, unpleasantness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Navi gets stuck with it. The Navi, he becomes the author, he gets credit for it, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Nidla Nivuasan Ba'atzman, the Elohim, who are the three? Divrei Koheles. Who is Koheles? Well, we know Koheles is Shlomo HaMelech, but in this context, it's called his words. Divrei, they're his words. Don't attribute the harshness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Attribute it to a human being. Divrei Omois, okay, in one of the Treyasar, and Divrei Yirmiyahu, Rotzolaymar, the Atzman Shedibu, Bidivrei Atzman, they spoke themselves. It's their own harsh words. Kimo Shlomo Sha'omar Ani Koheles Hayisi Melech, I am a Melech v'chol inyan she'siper bi'atzmo, that he spoke concerning himself. V'chein Amos siper divrei atzmo koshar olecha Amos. His words begin that Amos has conspired a kesher against you. V'chol inyan k'moshe kosev, like it's written in Sefer Amos. V'chein Yirmiyahu siper betchila sifroi divrei atzmo beterem at atzorcha. Before I have formed you, we'll get to that in a few moments. Bebeten yidaticha, I have known you. V'cholu inyan v'chein b'soich ha'sifroi ma'asha siba min ha'arosh ha'asolo. It tells about things that have been done to him. Okay, so since over here, okay, that's the basic idea. We make the connection between these three: Shlomo HaMelech, Koheles, Amos, and Yirmiyahu. They're words of complaint. They're words of complaint, and therefore, and it's not just Hashem's complaints, but it's their own complaints. They're also frustrated. Yirmiyah, Shlomo, and Amos were frustrated with Klal Yisrael, and they complain. I made them say, I told you another idea. What I told you is not incorrect. It's just not what it says over here. Other Mefarshim explained it that way, but But what the Radak is saying is that we find in these three, by these three Nevi'im, we find they were extremely frustrated with Klal Yisrael, and they expressed it. And therefore, that's why their Sfarim, that's why the word Divrei appears in connection with these three. It's a set. Yirmiyah, Amos, and Koheles. Ad Mosai Atem Poischem Al Shnei HaSichel. So I don't know the answer. Why don't we include Eliyahu in part of that group? I don't know. Maybe over here it's more significant. I don't know. It has to be a good reason why he's not part of the group. Okay, now before we go further, let me just point out to some small points. You know, we mentioned before that Yirmiyahu, what is the meaning of his name? His name has the Shem Hashem. Yud Hey. Sometimes it's called Yirmiyah, and sometimes it's called Yirmiyahu. That's a style of writing. You add the Hey. That's how their names are written. But it's Yoram Ka. Yoram Ka can mean to elevate. Hashem will be elevated. It also can mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove himself from this world in his lifetime. Yirmiyah had the unpleasant experience of living during the time of the Churban itself. We have to remember that Yeshaya and many of the Treyasar lived way before. They lived almost 200 years before the time of Yirmiyahu. They lived in the time when there was a Bayis Rishon, and the Shekhinah was present in this world from the day they were born until the day that they died. That includes, of course, David and Shlomo and Yeshaya, and a collection of the people mentioned in Treyasar. But Yirmiyahu and his counterpart Yechezkel, they lived at the time of the Churban. They actually saw the Churban. When they were born, the Shekhinah was resting in the Beis HaMikdash, and by the time they died, the Shekhinah had already disappeared. And Hashem says in the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah left the world in 10 stages. It first went from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Heichel, and then to the outside the Heichel, to the Miftan, to the wall, to this place, to that place, till finally when the Churban happened, the Shekhinah went all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It came down initially in 10 stages, and now we're retreating in 10 stages. So therefore, Yoram means it ascended. It ascended in stages. Yoram Ka. Yirmi was called after the event that occurred during his lifetime. The ascent, the Yoram Ka, the ascent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this world, Hashem's departure from allowing his Shekhinah to permanently rest on this world. Now, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation of Yirmiyah in Aramaic means Irmiyah. Irmiyah means a churban, destruction, or Arimoin, a destruction. That during his lifetime, the churban came to be. Okay, now we'll leave the other midrashim for later. We'll just try to go through some sukkim, pasuk beis. Asher hoyi devar Hashem elav, Hashem spoke to him, bimei Yoshiyahu, then Amon, as we Melech Yehuda. He was the Yoshiyahu ben Amon. Now we mentioned before, that was the whole Akdama to the pasuk beis, in the lifetime of Yoshiyahu. Bishloish esrei shanah lemalchoi, in the 13th year of his malchus. Again, we know that they first found the Sefer Torah. Yirmiyahu's father first found the Sefer Torah 5 years later. Hashem was already preparing Yirmiyahu for his mission to be a prophet. During a time when Klal Yisrael was thoroughly ignorant of the ways of Hashem, living in the tkufa that followed Menashe and Amon, kings that have no chelik in Olam Haba, kings which destroyed Klal Yisrael, and the big event that's going to happen 5 years later, when Yirmiyahu's father, Chilkiyahu ben Shafan, will find the Sefer Torah and will trigger a movement of tshuva in Klal Yisrael. But already 5 years, that was the 18th year of Yoshiyahu, and already 5 years before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepping Yirmiyahu. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk Beis says, Asher hoya b'mei Yoshiyahu, t'chilas tibri Hashem bo, hoya b'mei Yoshiyahu. Hashem first spoke to him in the days of Yoshiyahu. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Beis, Asher hoya d'var Hashem elav, the Shechina began to rest upon him at that point in time, 5 years before. The Targum Pasuk Beis, the Hava Piskam Devuah Min Kodem Hashem Inei, the word of Hashem was with him. Biyoyme Yoshiyahu Bar Amoin Melech Shifta the Beis Yehuda, the king of the tribe of Yehuda, Bislas Asreishin Lemimcha, in the 13th year of his malchus. Okay, there is no Radak. Let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Vayihi, here we go. Vayihi Bimei Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. Hashem was with him. Hashem began to speak to him. Vayihi was Bimei Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. He was during the days of Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. It's a continuation. Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu was after Yoshiyahu died. Then who is the next king? The next king was Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda. He only was king for 3.5 months. Ad Tom, then he was taken over by what?
Really bad.
What?
By
Hebe. Yeah.
He's which means.
Real trouble. Okay, Vayhi Mei Yehoyakim Melech Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, and this lasted at time to the end. Ashtei Esrei Shana LeTzidkiyahu Ben Yosh. Then there was another 11 years of Yehoyakim. I'm sorry. I'm making a mistake. There is. Oh, just wait. Vayhi Mei Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu. He was for 11 years. Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. At time Ashtei Esrei Shana LeTzidkiyahu Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. Through the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu the king, then also a son of Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda, Ad Gilois Yerushalayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi, until the Churim took place in the 5th month, which is the month of Av. In other words, there were 22 years from the time of the death of Yoshiyahu until the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Those 22 years were under the rule of Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu. Now, the one who ruled right after Yoshiyahu was there was another one that ruled for 3.5 months. I'm forgetting all this. Okay, after Yehoyakim ruled for 11 years, and then his son ruled for 3.5 years. Yehoyachin ruled for 3.5 months, and then Nebuchadnezzar appointed his uncle, another son of Yoshiyahu, Tzidkiyahu, to rule in his place, and he ruled for the last remaining 11 years. And the Farshim said the reason why they were 11 years, why they were 22 years, was in the Zuchus that they properly eulogized. They properly eulogized Yoshiyahu upon his death, and they used the letters of the Aleph Beis. If you notice that in Kinois, and the Kinois, there is one of the Prokhm of Kinois. Kinois, by the way, was written by Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu did not only write Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu also wrote Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha is called in Chazal Kinois. One of the Prokhm in Kinois is a eulogy on Yoshiyahu. The eulogy on Yoshiyahu is arranged by the Aleph Beis, and Chazal, the Aleph Beis has 22 letters. And the Medrash says, in the Zuchus of eulogizing Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, the Churban was delayed for 22 years. And that's what we see over here, is we have here the 22 years of Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. Does not say that he reigned for 11 years, but we know that to be a fact. And then we have the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu, and during all of these years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yirmiyahu. He was the in-house prophet. Who was the out-house prophet? That was Yechezkel. Yechezkel was Yirmiyahu's counterpart. Yechezkel was in Chutz Liaretz, and Yirmiyahu was in Eretz Yisrael. And each one...
I should say Yechezkel was his son.
was the son of who? Of Yirmiyahu?
That's why it said.
Okay, could be.
Because they were
Mevaze Yirmiyahu. So okay, okay. So there were two major prophets at this time: Yirmiyahu in Eretz Yisrael and Yechezkel Chutz Yaretz. And here he's starting the Hebrew with the prophecy from the, during the time during the 13th year of Yoshiyahu. And after Yoshiyahu's death, we have another 22 years, which he continued to be Hashem's primary source of giving over information to Klal Yisrael. Let's see the pasuk in the Mitzudos pasuk Gimel, pasuk Gimel Vayhid Meyo Yoyakim Hoya Misnabe Gam. So the Mitzudos Tavit tells us that we have to don't read the pasuk literally, because Vayhid Meyo, it sounds like we're starting a new theme. We're not starting a new theme. This is a continuation of pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis, it says Asher Hoya Dvar Hashem Elof Bimei in the days of Yoshio Ben Amon. Pasuk Gimel says, and it was also with him in the days of Yehoyakim. So don't translate the words Vayehi like you translate Vayehi in the Megillah. Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh, it's a new beginning. Vayehi over here means Gam. Hoya Misnabe Gam Bimei Yehoyakim Bino, his son, the Hismida Niluaso. Yehoyakim was the son of Yoshio, and the nevuah continued, was continuous, ad kilois ashtei eshreshon letzidkiyahu, after the death of Yehoyakim, through the last 11 years of Tzidkiyahu, ulitosefes beor omar, and to provide more explanation until ad kilois Yerushalayim, until the Churban concurred, shahoysa b'chodesh hachamishi, the fifth month, shu chodesh av, is chodesh av. Rashi, pasuk gimel, pasuk says, vayihi bimei Yehoyakim, vayihi navi kol yimei Yoshio, hanois Sarim, v'imei Yehoyakim bino. It's exactly like what the Mitzudos Tavit says, and also don't read the word Vayihi to mean a new beginning, but he also said prophecy Yehoyakim bino v'imei Tzidkiyo bino atoim at shtei esrei shana, until the end of the 11 years. He hashana, that's the year he hashana ad gilois Yerushalayim, and that was the year when the Golos occurred, B'chodesh HaChamishi, in the fifth month. Okay, the Targum is a little bit more elaborate. Pasuk Gimel, Vayihi b'mei Yehoyakim bar Yoshiyahu, Melech Shivta, the base Yehuda, that Hashem was during the days of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, the king of Shev of Yehuda, ad deshlima chada asrei shin, until the end of the 11 years, Litzidkiya achuhi, Achuhi to Tzidkiyahu, Achuhi his brother. So he just provides explanations, another way of saying the son. They were brothers, Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu were brothers, Bar Yoshiyahu, Melach the king Shifta, the base Yehuda, Ad Asan Nebuchadnezzar. So here he's adding some explanation to the pasuk. Until the Nebuchadnezzar came, Malach the Babel, Vitzor al Yerushalayim Tlashinin, for 3 years. The last 3 years of the rule of Tzidkiyahu, there was a siege, the Aglei Amo, and he exiled the Jewish people, the Ba, that were living in Yerushalayim, the Yarcha Chamisha'a, in the fifth month. Okay, let's see if there's a radak here. Let's just see some radak. Pasuk Gimel Vayihi Bimei Dvar Hashem Shayelov Hoya Gam Kain Bimei Yehoyakim Bar Yoshiyahu V'chein Bimei Tzidkiyahu Atoy Malchuso Shemolach Yud Aleph Shana B'Shnas Achas Esrei. And in the 11th year of his Malchus Nofal Biad Melech Bavel, the Churban occurred. The Golus Yerushalayim Achidus Hachamishik Moshe Kasa B'Sefer Melachim. Okay, so therefore we now have the basic, the first Shibsukim, the basic outline of when his prophecy occurred. It occurred during the last three active kings in Klal Yisrael, Yoshiyahu, and Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu. This spanned the 22 years plus the remaining years of Yoshiyahu. Pasuk Dalet. Vayhi devar Hashem Eli Lemar. B'terem etzorcha baveten yidaticha. Before I have formed you in your mother's womb, I already knew about you. U'b'terem teitzei merechem. Before you came out of your mother's womb, hikdashticha, you have been sanctified. Navi lagoyim nisaticha, I have designated you from before you were born as a Navi for the Goyim. Who are the Goyim? So we're going to see it means a Navi for Klal Yisrael. Now this is an important point. We don't find Yirmiyahu focusing all that much on the Umay Sa'olam. the one who focuses, the one who the bulk of his nevuah is for the umos olam, and not so much for Klal Yisrael, is Yeshaya. Yeshaya, when you study Sefer Yeshaya, you're very shocked to learn that most of his nevuah is for the world. It's for the time of Mashiach. It's the world, and he goes through nation by nation. And even in the Treyasa, many of the prophets in the Treyasa also are focusing on the Umay Sa'olam. Yirmiyahu's focus is primarily Klal Yisrael. And that presents the problem, but it says here the word Lagoyim, the nations. And that is why Rashi and all the other commentators understand the word Lagoyim over here is a reference. It's a word that refers to Klal Yisrael. Goyim does not here refer to the Umma Yisrael. Let's see over here the Mitzvot Stav. Pasuk Dalit. Vayhi Dvar Hashem. V'zehu Divrei Yirmiyahu. Here we begin the words of Yirmiyahu. Shama Yisrael. Pasuk Hei B'terem. Ad lo yitzarticha mibetin imcha. Before you were conceived in the mother of your, the womb of your mother, hikarti bach, I already knew about your neshama, shetiye hogun umuchon lanavua, hikdashticha, I have sanctified you, kidashti oischa, I have sanctified you, v'chazar operish loymar bezeh, bezeh kidashticha, it is in this respect that I have sanctified you, b'mashen nesaticha liyos nadi, lihisnabos, to say prophecy, al, on, Ha'akum kulam. Now, okay, the Mitzudos stuff, it says he takes for goyim literally. Your prophecy will be for the all of the nations of the world. Oyved koychavim umazolis. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk hey says, "Beterem etzorcha babeten minei Adam harisha." Very fascinating medrash from the time of Adam. From the time of Adam harishain. Hereiwa Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam, Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Rishon dor v'dor univiyav. Hashem showed Adam Harishon every single generation the prophet that would be in that generation. Etzarcha loshin tsura, I have formed you. Yidaticha, Yidaticha means I have known you k'mo lo nodati lohem, you're not known to them. Now the word yitzura we know from the Gemara Masech Bava Metzia means midos. Etzorcha doesn't just mean the physical form of what you look like. The Gemara there relates a Maisa where one of the Amoraim told his children that you should go to get a bracha from this group of people because they are Anshei Tzura, people of form. And there Rashi and the other Mepharshim explain it means they are Balei Midos. They have good qualities, good interpersonal relations with other people, they are good, they have good midos. So here, one of the key things that we need to do, you need to be a Navi, you have to have sparkling midos, midos toivos. Hidaticha, for our next, hikdashticha, zimanticha, the word hikdashti means I have designated. It does not necessarily mean I have sanctified you with oil, shaman hamishcha, and kedusha. It means I've designated you. Navi lagoyim. So look what Rashi here says. Rashi is very specific. Li Yisrael. I have made you a navi for Klal Yisrael. Shehoyu noyhagim atzim. Why would the pasuk use the word goyim in reference to the holy nation? Because shehoyu noyhagim atzmam ke'akum. They were misbehaving. They were behaving like goyim, and therefore the pasuk here, in a very derogative form, calls Klal Yisrael goyim. Kach nidrash b'sifrei navi, kach b'sifrei, kama. And this is the drash in the sifrei. What does it say in the sifrei? Navi mikir b'cha. How does Rashi know that this has to be the pshat? Because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, navi mikir b'cha, yakim l'cha. I will go and establish yakim l'cha. I will establish a navi from your midst for you, for Klal Yisrael. When Hashem wants there to be a navi for the Umay Sa'olam, He'll take one of them. When Hashem wants there to be, whenever you're going to have a navi from Klal Yisrael, His primary objective is to say prophecy for Klal Yisrael. V'loy l'machishei Torah. I'm not going to take a navi from Klal Yisrael to serve as a prophet for the people who deny the Torah. Oh, that the sifrei asked the question, but this idea is contradicted with what it says here in Sefer Yirmiyah, Homo ani mekayim navi lagoyim nisaticha. So the answer is, Enochanami, do not translate the word lagoyim to mean the Uma Yisraelim, but translate the word lagoyim to mean Klal Yisrael, b'bnei Yisrael shohayu noyhagin ke'akum. Okay, so this is the Rashi, there's a Sefrei, there's a contradiction, navi mekir b'cha to yakim l'cha. For you, Klal Yisrael. It's contradicted by the pasuk Kir Lagoyim. The answer is it's only for Klal Yisrael. And over here, Goyim means Klal Yisrael because they're behaving like Goyim. Dover Acher, another interpretation. I have sanctified you. Alecha Marati L'Moshe. It is about you. It is about you, I said to Moshe. Navi akim locha lohem kamoicha. Okay, this is another very interesting idea that Rashi reveals to us, is that there is a relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyah. Now the truth is, when we learn Sefer Yeshaya, there are many, many more midrashim that compare Yeshaya to Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, Chazal said the only two prophets whose prophecy was asplak Maria Meira, that was crystal clear, was Yeshaya and Moshe. Moshe and Yeshaya shared a degree of prophecy that no one else had. And here in this Rashi is telling us that Yirmiyah has something in common with Moshe Rabbeinu. Like you, Hashem, I will establish a Klal Yisrael Navi just like you, Moshe. Zehoichichom, Moshe gave Musa to Klal Yisrael, the Zehoichichom, and Yirmiyah gave Musa to Klal Yisrael. Zen Nisnabe Arboim Shana, the Zen Nisnabe Arboim Shana, Moshe and Yirmiyah both said prophecy for exactly 40 years. Okay, 40 years of prophecy, so that means how many more years? There were 18 more years. 18 more years in the Malchus of Yoshiyahu until he died, because it was 22 years from the time of his death until the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then there was 18 years in the lifetime of Yoshiyahu, which Yirmiyah said prophecy. Moshe said more than 40 years?
40 years
Moshe, Hashem recruited Moshe when he was 80 years old.
Yeah.
Hashem recruited, he was 40 years. Yes. By the burning bush, he was 40 years old. He was 80 years old. So, and he died when he was 120, so it was 40 years. And he was saying the Yim was also 40 years. They both gave Moshe. But we have over here a very interesting insight that there is a direct relationship between Moshe and Yirmiyahu.
So
when the Akhlavino
says,
Goyu Kahal Goyim, the Akhlavino says, Goyu Kahal Goyim, the Selly of Goyim. I don't know. But over here he says, maybe that was only by Avram Avinu's time, before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, we don't really find the Klai Shalim called Goyim. Before Matan Torah, maybe it was different, yeah?
No, so that means
it wasn't the same degree. It wasn't the full degree. Of Nevuah, but during the 38 years, there was definitely some form of communication. This was the full degree. The full degree of Nevuah was not present.
They only went and moved there. All the Masos happened. You know, Al-Pi Hashem.
Okay, let's finish up the Targum. Let's see what we get the Targum. The Targum over here says Pasik. Let's look at the Targum. The Targum says V'hava piskam nevuah min kodem Hashem in imi lememar. The Targum Pasik Dalit says Hashem spoke to me saying Pasik Hey Ad Lo birisach minin minin. Before I have formed you, you have been conceived in the belly of your mother. As kein toch, I already formed you. As kein toch means tikkun. I already made you. Yad lo e'aseisol olma. Before you came into this world, before you were released from the belly of your mother, zo mein toch nevei. Neve Mashke, I have already prepared Neve Mashke. The Levat Le'anaya Meisanach, the cup of a curse, right? Levat to what?
Like you give
the Kais Hatarela.
Of bad news.
I've already designated you to Nevei Zomentoch, I've already designated you, Nevei, to be a prophet. What kind of prophet? To give to drink poison. Mashke, to drink. Kas de Levot, to a cup.
Bitter
cup of poison. La Amamaya, to the nation Ma Nesoch, to whom I have appointed. Okay, so these are just different expressions. Okay, let's just see the Radak here. I think has some nice yisoidus on this pasuk. Pasuk Hey, he explains some interesting ideas. Let's see. Radak b'termet sarcha. Kain kasub. Okay, first he goes through some dicta. Kain kasub b'vav. The word at sarcha over here, you notice, is spelled in an unusual way. Etz. We don't pronounce b'vav. B'vav is silent. Kain. He writes here. Kain ksib b'vav v'kori hatzadi b'komatz chotaf. We read the tzadi with a komatz. He calls it a komatz chatov, a chatov komatz. We have a regular kipshuta im akinuyim ve'enim ovav, and we ignore the vav. In other words, the krivich sif. We have over here a vav, and the vav is ignored, and we just pronounce the tzadi, and the tzadi is a, he calls a chatov komatz. I'm not sure why it's a chatov komatz. We have over here a regular komatz. Okay, we have a regular komatz. I think what he means over here, there's a dot in the tzadi, so maybe it means that it's not a komatz cotton, it's a komatz goldok. I'm not sure. Here he says that it's a komatz chataf, kipshutoi, im akinuyim, the inim ovo, the inin echod, the inin, the ternak, fine, in, I'm not sure, the terim at sorchok siv. Now, what does this mean? So I'm talking about kosav adoni avi. My father says as follows, kashabora hayisaydois. Hayisoidos hadalid yodu v'koyach hateva v'achakach hotzi l'poyel. When Hashem created all of the yisoidos, Hashem knew the potential. V'achakach hotzi l'poyel, Hashem brought forth the potential. V'chenam Yishayah be'etz hayosah sham ani v'koyach hayisoidos hayisi mizman shachayisah es b'olam. In other words, the potential was there. He never came actually to exist, but all of the conditions that were necessary existed from the time of my separations. The Atua now, and you send me forth with your spirit. I've known you by name, I'm not sure what that means. Hikdashticha, miloshon kedusha, vidaticha, loshon gedula. Okay, so he's telling means holiness, and yidaticha means greatness. He's asking a very basic question. Why is this unique? What is unique about Yirmiyah more so than every other person in this world? Every single person in this world, you can say exactly the same thing. Everyone, you can say that the terem et sorcha vabetin yidaticha, or the terem teitzei merechem hikdashticha. Everyone, you can say the same thing. So what over here is the pasuk coming to express more by Yirmiyah than anyone else? So, v'chein rishon b'term ha'ibram yodam v'hikirim Hashem knows. Ach yorzeh. So here is what the Radak is telling us, the significance of what this pasuk means, and this is a very powerful idea. He's saying yorzeh she'ove v'imo nizaru b'kedusha u'tahara v'es ha'hayrayon she'yeh hanavi mekudesh. That the parents did special things at the time of conception and during the time of pregnancy that he should develop into a Navi. In other words, the average person, it's just a mazel. Average person, there is no great planning that goes into producing human beings that are special. What? The Malach in Nachnami, so that was an exception. The Malach says that you're going to have a child that's going to be a savior of Klal Yisrael, and you should do certain things in Nachnami. So here comes the Baruch Hu B'Yirbon, and Hashem says, I know from you, before you were created means your parents have gone out of their way to prepare, to bring themselves into a state of holiness so that your conception and your development should be unique, and you shall be fitting to serve as a prophet. In other words, the average person that comes into this world, and the lack preparation for lack preparation, it's too little, too late. There's no way that a regular person can now be a receptacle for Hashem Shechina. But you, I know is b'terem etzorcha ba'beten yidaticha. I took note that your parents, they did special things before conception in order to be holy, so that the conception shall be a conception of holiness and the pregnancy shall be a pregnancy of holiness. That's how he interprets the symbol understanding of this pasuk. An amazing idea. Then he goes on to say from Rav Moshe bar Maimon, this is the Rambam. Zal kosav ki ze inyan kol nevi nivnavi. Iev shalom ibilti hachone tivis biko yitziroso shiye nochon unvua im hahas lamdus. He's saying over here that a navi, you can't, this gets into the very philosophical concept of what exactly you need to be a navi. And the Rambam says that you have to have special talent. You cannot train yourself to, the average person cannot be trained to be a Navi. To be a Navi, you have to have inborn talent. It's not like America. America, what? So the schools for Navim only accepted people that already had talent. You can't, like America, the idea is you can have it all. Anyone who wants to succeed in America can succeed. You don't have to have any special talent. Just work hard, and you can rise to the top. You can be anything you want. That's a tremendous bracha. No one's coming to deny that. That's definitely true in Yadus as well. But to be a Navi, it's not enough. You can break your head open. You can work as hard as you want. You're not going to be a Navi. If your parents did not do the necessary steps to bring themselves into a state of Kedusha before conception, before pregnancy and pregnancy, then it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, he's going to quote the Rambam, this is a powerful Yisoid. Hagadol Rav Moshe bar Maimon Zal Kosav ki ze inyan kol neviyah ki efshel lo, it's impossible for him to be loved and built the hachana tivis. You have to have an inborn natural talent. Be'ikar yitziros o shiyah nochoin la nevuah im haslamdus, together with practice, together with training. V'yesh l'dato lishua lomo lo yomar zeh inyan l'navi acher elu l'yirmiyahu. Now you can ask the question, why does it only say this in reference to Yirmiyahu? Why doesn't it say the same thing when the Yeshua, all the other Yecheskel, v'nuchalai ma'al l'fish she'yada ha'kel yisparach she'yirmiyahu yisorei b'shlichus. The reason why the pasuk here is mentioning this is because the Yirmiyahu from all the prophets gave Hashem the hardest time, except for Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. The other prophets, when they were recruited, they were very willing to accept the mission. But Yirmiyahu refused to accept the mission. So Hashem said, "You're not allowed to refuse because your talent will go to waste." So therefore, b'shlichus akel, ha'idiyo HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it known to him, ki hu muchon l'nevua min ha'beten, he's already designated, kidei sheyichazek libo l'leches b'shlichus akel, v'im toim v'haloi Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom ho'yo musav gam kein b'shlichus akel. Moshe also refused, v'loi omar loi kein, Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu the same expression that b'terem yidah, b'terem before you were tzorcha yidaticha, omar lo hinei herolo os gadol l'chazek eslibo v'hu os hasneh. There Hashem gave Moshe another reason why he should be the prophet, because Hashem did the oisais. A person knows already that he has these inborn talents. Yigbar boy im haslamdus, together with practice. The Yonasan Tirgim, Yonasan was the Targim, the Pasuk, Cain, Adlod Birisicha, Kiba Amud. He translates the Pasuk very simply, like we said before. like in a very similar interpretation, which is not giving the insight that he's giving. So basically, the Yisod over here is, you take away from the Radak, a Meridik Yisod is that to be a Navi, from the Rambam, you have to have inborn talent, and that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yirmiyah. it's a gift that's been given to you, and if it's been given to you, you're not allowed to squander that gift. You have to make use of that gift. And that's why it only appears by Yirmiyahu, does not appear by a regular person, because indeed by a regular person you don't have this concept. And by Moshe it was not necessary to say this, and by other Nevi'im it was also not necessary to say this, because they were willing to accept their mission. Alright, well, that's the title.